New customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FIELDGOAL, bet $5 on Super Bowl 57, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. 21 and over in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issued as bonus bets. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
One, two, three.
So your choice to win Super Bowl 57, Ja'Marr Chase, is...
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Billy, I just lost this to Chiefs and what? I don't like them.
Live from the Super Bowl experience in downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
You're bitter is what you're saying.
I'm pissed. I'm a little salty. I'm going to go with Philly.
Okay.
Just because they got a better roster. I just like their roster look. You know what I'm saying? They up front is incredible.
Coming up, Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. Broncos head coach Sean Payton. Plus, all the latest from Super Bowl 57. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of our third and final day in the Super Bowl state of Arizona, live on the Roku channel, free on every Roku device known to man. It's also free on select Samsung Smart TVs, free on Amazon Fire TV, free on the Roku app, free at the RokuChannel.com for all those watching us on the internet and streaming us. We also say hello to our terrestrial radio outfit, courtesy of Westwood One, helping us out so much and partnering up with us. Sirius XM Odyssey, we say hello to those audiences that are streaming us live right here from the Convention Center in Phoenix, Arizona, the Super Bowl experience. Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl winning head coach from his days with the Saints, is going to be stopping by. Hour number three, Bert Kreischer will be here, hopefully keeping shirts on for that interview when he joins us. Aiden Hutchinson in hour number three. Rob Riggle's going to help us take everyone to Super Bowl weekend. That's hour number three, but we kick off hour number two right here with the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings here, courtesy of K Jewelers, Kirk Cousins. Good to see you, Kirk.
Rich, great to see you.
It's again, I should say, it's good to see you again.
Yeah.
I saw you last night.
Yes.
Backstage. It's kind of funny. I'm getting set to go out there and do my thing at NFL Honors for the Hall of Fame. I turn to my right, and there you're standing with an insane amount of ice around your... There's the photograph right there.
Wow.
That's us.
Wow.
Backstage.
Yep.
That took a few minutes of prep, I imagine.
When I went to wardrobe, they said, okay, we got 17 chains for you. And I said, who decided that 16 was too few and 18 was too many?
I like that.
That was 17 chains right there.
I like that.
It did take a while to put on and take off.
Normally, you're just used to the one, right? Is that basically it?
Well, I mean, normally I'm used to having none, but this season it became a thing. So at first it was one.
Yes.
Then the next game it was 3, 4, 5. And then the next game it was shirtless. And then at that point I ran out of ideas. So.
And what about the singing last night? What about
that? Yeah, I was a little flat, but we had fun with it. It was a great time. Kelly, I thought, did an awesome job hosting.
She was great.
Yeah, it's you know, we're NFL players, so it's a bit of a tough audience. It's not showbiz that you're performing for. So but she was awesome, and it was fun to do that. I mean, I listened to that song that I parodied in high school, you know, and so to sing it with her, you're kind of in one of those moments where you're like, this is awesome. I'm living a dream.
Yeah, blown away by just everybody that's in that spot. Every year, I'm you know, I don't get jaded. It's kind of cool. Who did you meet last night? Anybody else that you...
I mean, you see so many NFL greats. You know, Dan Fouts was there. I shook his hand, and I just said, hey, you're one of the best ever. My dad says you probably are the best ever. So it's just fun to see guys like that, especially in their gold jackets. And, you know, Terry Bradshaw, and then all the other current great players. And it was fun, too, because I ran into Jarrett and Brittany Payton, and we all went to the same elementary school in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, so Brittany was quizzing me to see if I could sing the Grove Avenue new fight song, and I could, and she knew it too, so it was fun.
How does that go?
I'm all sung out.
You're done singing?
Yeah, I'm all sung
out.
Although
I did hear, I got to tell you, Kirk, I did hear through the grapevine that you do have an actually really good singing voice.
Decent. It's okay. After years of barking out snap counts, you know, what is that?
Yes, right.
My voice keeps getting scratchier and scratchier, but I was in a little singing show choir in high school, and so my mom had us in musicals as kids and things, so there's a background there, but I'm far more a football player than I am a singer.
Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think of the matchup of this Super Bowl?
Well, I think
what do you got for me?
You know, over the long NFL season, these really were the two best teams. So I think it's fitting that they're in the Super Bowl. Just observing from a distance, I watched a lot more of the Eagles than I did of the Chiefs throughout the season, just because we had so many common opponents.
You also played them in week two.
Correct, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw them up close and personal. But my head would say the Eagles, you know, are probably the better football team overall.
Why is that?
Just the line play. You see the D-line. They've just been dominant, I mean, all season long. And I think their only losses were really when Jalen Hurts wasn't playing. And so they've just, from, you know, wire to wire, just been convincing. But, you know, the Chiefs are there for a reason, and they've been at the top of the league now for several years for a reason, and so I do think it'll be a great football game.
And it's interesting with Hurts. I'd love to linger with Hurts a little bit with you, especially since, you know, he said there were a bunch of people that weren't, you know, welcoming him with open arms. They didn't think they were surprised that he was selected there. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who was drafted and surprised a fan base that being drafted there, you're kind of that guy, you know? It seems drafted, RG3 being drafted, you're drafted there too.
Sure.
But there's had to be a bunch of folks there who are kind of, why is he here? And he kind of voiced that he had that feeling when he was there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think in pro football, what I've learned through my decade of experience with it is sometimes you just never can tell. And you don't know what's going to happen. And it's so key for us as players to just keep going to work, keep our head down, stay humble, stay hungry, and believe. And you never know what's going to happen. I think Jalen's done that. And I think a lot of great players in this league have done that. But you start to find that Jalen's story, my story, is actually more normal than people might think. Because certainly the first round picks get a lot of attention, and the guys who were supposed to be great.
Yes.
But whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Jalen Hurts, whether it's any number of offensive, defensive linemen, there are a lot of guys who have carved out great careers in this league that nobody saw coming out of high school or out of college.
Yeah. So were there moments where you were wondering, will I get a shot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, even coming out of Michigan State, and you're in the draft process, and you're even wondering, am I going to get picked? And then when you do get picked, wondering, you know, am I going to get a shot? I remember Kyle Shanahan, the day after I was drafted, gave me a call, and he just said, Kirk, the goal is that you would play well in preseason games and we would trade you. That's really the model where this works out well.
Is that what he said?
That was the model. And I understood, because he said, I coached Matt Schaub in Houston, and that was the model that he took. He backed up Michael Vick in Atlanta for 3 years, played well in preseason games in a small stint where Mike got hurt. We traded for him in Houston, and he had a great career with us in Houston. So he said, that's really a great model. It can be done. So don't think that because you're backing up that it's a dead end. The preseason is going to give you a great opportunity to someday get traded. But really, that was the model, was this works out well if you can give us a couple of draft picks down the road by getting traded.
How did you take that?
Well, I think, you know, as my dad said an hour after I was picked, he said, Kirk, Mike Shanahan has coached around Bill Walsh, around John Elway, around Steve Young.
Yeah.
If he's picking you in a situation where it really wouldn't be logical to, he believes in you and he sees something in you. So he said, I would take that as a vote of confidence that Kyle and Mike really think you can play, and they're going to have your back. And sure enough, as time has proven, they did.
Well, I mean, a lot of the conversation around at the time, because I was sitting on a draft set and we were talking about it
there.
Right after that,
yep.
Was that maybe the Shanahans weren't the ones sold on RG3 to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think that was the case. Yeah, I don't think so. I think Mike had a vision for how they could use Griff running the football,
right,
and the difference it could make in this league with a running quarterback. And to their credit and to Griff's credit, they did. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year, and defenses didn't really have a great answer, and they were able to regulate defenses. And Mike and Kyle both have such great football minds. They had a way of being able to really make his skill set a problem for defenses. So certainly it was I think something that they understood what they were doing.
Yeah, and now you take a look at Hurts himself. I mean, you talk about running and passing threat.
Yeah,
dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Just, yeah, the RPO game, it continues to be tough to defend if you know what you're doing, and then you got to have a quarterback who really can run it and knows how to run it, and clearly he's good at it and has a great feel for it, as do their entire team and their scheme, their offense. So it's tough to defend. Like you said, I watched it week two. It was tough to defend, and it's a defense also. Their D-line, it's tough, man. They make you earn it.
Kirk Cousins here, courtesy of K Jewelers, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we get to that, your receiver left double-fisted last night. He did not have an empty hand.
No, he didn't.
Last night. What is it like throwing a Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, you know, we traded for traded Diggsy to Buffalo.
Right.
You're kind of like, well, what's the plan here? Because we've got Adam Thielen, but we're losing one of our better players. What's the plan? They said, well, we're going to get a first round pick, and the plan will be to draft a receiver. I said, that's great if we get a great receiver. But I've also been around a lot of, you know, seen a lot of players get drafted who don't really pan out the way it was planned.
And right.
So we were very fortunate that we picked the fifth receiver in that draft and ended up with Justin Jefferson.
Wow.
So it worked out so well. Obviously, it worked out well for Buffalo, too. I don't think they're disappointed. But to get Justin where we did, we could have never predicted that he'd be what he's been. I mean, to set the rookie record for yards and then year two to top that,
mm-hmm.
and then year three to do what he's done. At some point, we're going to plateau. We can't just keep going up, but, you know, he's a phenomenal player. And then Kevin, I can't say enough about the job that he did to week after week as defenses were working hard to take Justin away.
Yes.
To keep finding ways to get Justin the ball and scheme it up so he is open and I can work him. Kevin did a great job there.
Yeah, and so what? Where do we go from here?
Because
you win the division.
Yeah.
You don't finish well at all.
No.
I mean, regular season, and obviously we saw what happened in the playoffs.
Right.
What do you attribute that?
Yeah, so walking off the field, that's the exact question that I ask myself is where do we go from here? Because you win 13 games. We're 11-0 in one-score games in the regular season.
Yeah.
We win a division title, host a home playoff game. There's a lot of positives there. But when you lose a home playoff game, you know, there's a lot of frustration and disappointment. And so certainly, you know, the goal is to, as we get back in April, you know, is to just build this thing again from the ground up. You start 0-0. You'd love to think that 13 wins somehow gives you a head start in the 23. But it doesn't.
Right.
We all start even in April, and we got to build this thing up again and plan to get back to that home playoff game setting if we can. And then from there, we got to get the job done and keep going.
What do you think Rodgers is going to decide when he emerges from the darkness?
Your guess is as good as mine. I do think that when you have a great contract like he has, it's tough to walk away.
Yeah.
He signed a great contract, so I would think it'd be, you know, he'd be motivated to come back. As to whether he's in Green Bay or not, I don't know, but I still think he's one of the elite best players in our game, and whoever he plays for, he's going to make a real difference for him. And you know, I would think Green Bay, but I don't know.
That's what it sounds like. I would think that too, or maybe Vegas. I don't know. But 4 days in darkness.
I mean, he did the ayahuasca, and he then won two MVPs. So he seems to have a plan.
He does. He does. All right. Let's talk about K Jewelers.
Yeah.
and what you're doing with them.
Yeah. So K's partnered with the NFL, and they're now making pieces that are licensed. So as a fan,
yes,
of your team, you can now wear the jewelry with that logo. So my mm-hmm. wife Julie has a necklace with the Norseman Viking logo on
uh-huh.
it. And, you know, for Julie it's fun because for us the jewelry, you know, it represents so much more than just a team logo. I mean, it's our life. It's what we do for a living. All of our greatest memories as a family center around being a part of the Minnesota Vikings, and so it means a lot to Julie to be able to wear that piece to games and to team events. And so now anybody as a fan can go out and get jewelry pieces, you know, of their team.
Yes. From,
through K, and you know, just in time for Valentine's Day. It's perfect.
It's right around the corner. It's always every Super Bowl. It's like it comes right up. It's coming on Tuesday.
Here we go. And
I
with the 17th game now, we're pushed a week later, even closer to Valentine's Day.
I mean, it's, you know, it just jams up the whole schedule.
Sure does.
You got something planned for next week?
You know what? I'm back to Minnesota on
yes.
Sunday.
Okay.
I'll probably land from the airport, race home, and turn on the big game.
Okay.
I'll be watching from my couch in Minnesota.
I meant Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Well, we'll be heading south then. So after Super Bowl, we'll get down to warm weather in Florida.
What do you mean? Is that where you're going?
Yep, we'll be headed to Florida.
Do you have a spot there?
And well, we're getting a spot there in time. Until then, we'll just rent a place.
And, okay.
Yeah, so look forward to kind of getting out of Minnesota for a couple months in February, March, and then OTA start back up again in April, and we'll be heading back north.
I hear you. All right, so what's your prediction for Super Bowl 57? Kirk Cousins, what do you have?
Tough call. All these games tend to be so close, but I'm going to go with the Eagles in a close one, maybe something like the Eagles low 30s and then the Chiefs mid 20s. But I got to believe Mahomes and Kelce are going to keep it interesting.
We asked that of Kittle to start the show. I've asked
yeah.
this of virtually every guest. How does he get so wide open? Because everybody knows.
I say the same thing.
Like, we're watching a game.
Yes.
You know, we watch it.
Yeah.
But obviously you see it differently because
yeah.
you're a quarterback. But I mean, you know, Mahomes runs around and then just like, oh, there's Travis Kelce with no one around him.
Maybe that's a combination of, first of all, Andy Reid and Bieniemy with their play design. Because yes. I know with Kevin, with Justin, everybody's trying to take Justin away, and he's still showing up. I remember going into the Patriots game on Thanksgiving night thinking, if anybody's going to take Justin away, it's Coach Belichick. There's right. no way he's going to have a great game. I've seen this reel too many times. And then first drive of the game, Justin scores a touchdown. And the rest of the game, he made play after play. And you think, well, you know, there's those games where maybe we can still get him the ball. Yeah. And Kelce's somewhat the same way. But then, you know, when Pat plays off schedule, you know, all bets are off.
Correct.
So sometimes his ability to play off schedule is probably what then allows Kelce to still get involved.
And I know I'm going to say the words here, but I'm kind of proud of myself that I just did an entire interview with you without asking you about you like that. I mean...
You didn't bring up the Michigan State rivalry.
Well,
we didn't say you like that.
There has to be a rivalry for that to happen.
Wow. That's just disrespectful.
There was a good rivalry my years. Actually, I would say there wasn't a rivalry my years because it was the other way. So I guess that's what good rivalries do is they just kind of go back and forth, right?
They go back and forth. No, I know. I mean, I was just trying to be a good host here.
Yeah, and then I had to go there.
You went there.
I had
to go there. I'm patting myself on the back for because you must get that every interview pretty much. Yep. So,
well,
thanks for coming here.
Great to see you, Rich.
You got
Thank it. You.
Kirk Cousins and his appearance here on the Rich Eisen Show, sponsored by K Jewelers. You still have time to find a gift at K Jewelers. Stop by a K store or shop online at K.com to find the perfect Valentine's Day gift before the big game. Thanks for coming on here, sir.
Absolutely. Great to see you.
That is Kirk Cousins here on the program. When we come back, Super Bowl winning head coach Sean Payton will be here right on the Rich Eisen Show from Super Bowl 57.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning head coach of the Saints, now with the Denver Broncos. He is walking his way to our set right now. In the meantime, Monster.com wants you to help tackle the job hunt and make your next career move and allow them to do what they do. Working their voodoo makes you bring your A game, and thus when you look to change positions and join a new team, Monster.com is there to help. Because Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. And when you score the position, Monster.com salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. Get off the sidelines, folks. Go to Monster.com and win the job hunt, Monster.com. You know what was really weird about NFL honors last night?
What's that?
Is the Jets winning a lot. That was weird.
I was wondering if we're going to get to this.
Oh, yeah. Jets winning the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, and one of the best offensive rookies of the year got hurt in week 5 for them. They could have had two.
Yeah.
Could have been co.
They could have been co offensive rookies of the year. And then the Hall of Fame class, you got Darrell Revis making it, and I understand he's got his ring with New England. I understand
Patriot.
That. I get it.
He's a Jet,
and Ty Law's the one who introduced him on the stage. It was somewhat of an unkind cut, but he's a Michigan guy, so I can't be too upset.
I'll quip a stand-up.
And then Joe Klecko from the Sack Exchange.
Yeah, Joe Klecko.
You know, wherever Mark Gastineau was, you know, I was thinking of him. Abdul Salam, Marty Lyons, and him. It was great to see a lot of the Jet flavor last night.
My squad cool. was represented.
Dak won as well, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. And joining us, the man of the moment, courtesy of Zebra. Great to see you. Good to see you. Is Sean Payton here on the Rich Eisen Show. The new Denver Broncos head coach. I am appreciative that you just gently shook my hand because we're here at a Super Bowl, and I will never forget after you won the Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints, you come by on the set of the NFL Network
I'll remember it forever.
It was unbelievable. You were so, you know, fired up because you're a Super Bowl winning head coach now, and you slapped our hands. You slapped my hand so hard, I did lose feeling like I was Brock Purdy.
It's coming back.
It's just now. You were so, I truly, for that entire interview, I'm like, man, my hand is still tingling. Boom, went straight down. I just remember that, man.
Well, when at that event, and I'm sure it varies per stadium, but you kind of do a media segment like you would after the game, and then you get in these golf carts and they take you places.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of times coaches can be like crotchety about, I don't want to do another interview here.
But right.
So when you win the Super Bowl, it's like, who else wants to talk? Would you like to sit down here? Because I'd like to keep talking about this. And so we go way back. Listen, Rich is part of the, if there was a combine Rat Pack, he's one of the founding members. And okay. So we see, you know, what we see here with him running. I remember him before that was even he was part of the combine. And so when I hear, I was asked today, oh, someone feels like there should no longer be a combine. I'm like, it's ludicrous. The initial beginning of the combine was to combine medical information.
Yes.
That's, okay. So... In the prior to the combine, there were three or four groups, and these colleges would have, you know, imagine all the people coming to the colleges to poke and prod and find out the health of everyone. And then someone said, let's combine the information. Let's meet somewhere. And then someone said, hey, while they're here, let's run a 40.
Might as well.
While they're here. And then, let's do a three-cone drill. But the initial intent and purpose of the combine was to combine medical information, and hopefully the powers to be are smart enough to keep that in place. It's more efficient for the players, and honestly, I think the players gain from that. I mean, the fastest 40s are run at the combine. It's a fast track.
It is.
I mean, it's a fat.
For when I run it.
Well,
then the track is not as fast.
But John. No, I think. But the argument would be if we went back to your alma mater and ran a 40.
Yes.
I think you'd prefer being at the combine.
Maybe so.
So it's all relative, right?
It is. It is. And then we just always had a great time after the night was over. I remember a mechanical bull at 2 a.m. and things like that back in the day, man.
That was like Vegas with Sinatra, Martin.
Yes.
There's a group of us, okay. And so
so fun,
young and working hard at what we're doing, and now look, a lot's changed. Like this set, the carpet here, everything.
We got the carpet, we got it all working, and I'm thrilled that you're stopping by. Sean Payton, the new Denver Broncos head coach, courtesy of Zebra Technologies, and we'll get to that in a second. It was great seeing you last night at the Wheels Up dinner as well.
That was
a great spot, just a great spot, and I couldn't help but notice the man to your left was your quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Get invited. I think Russell was one of the hosts.
Yes.
You know, they've got a couple hosts. And it wasn't a big party. It was more of a dinner.
Yeah.
I would say it was a dinner.
It was a sit-down, yeah.
And so I've met Russ before. I coached him in the Pro Bowl, and I'm anxious to get over and see him. I haven't seen him since I've become the head coach, and he's sitting with his wife, Sierra. But across from me is Joe Montana and his wife, Jennifer. And so I know Russ was wanting to talk a lot about where we're going, and I kept asking Joe, so on 2 Jet Flanker Drive, how did you read this play? And because when I cut my teeth as a young coach in 97 and 98, it was under Ray Rhodes and John Gruden. They had come from that Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren. They were in that tree. And so all the cut-ups that I had a chance to be a part of or watch, a lot of them were Joe Montana. And I still have these tapes. And these are when you pull these out, this is like the Bible. You open it up, and this is the way it was taught. And here he is, and I've met him before, but never had this chance to
Yeah, he's across the table. He was literally across the table.
Russ keeps nudging me, and I'm like, hold on. So, but it was a great event.
So you got a chance to just chat with Russ and just be there.
It was good.
And have a nice, normal hangout. It was pretty
absolutely.
Cool. So, you know, the whole question was, would you take the job based on what we saw from Russ last year, and why would you do that? Based on what we saw from Russ last year. So what do you say about what you saw from Russ last year?
I think this, at the very beginning of this process, the thing that was unique is when you're working for Fox and you're on a studio show, and you become possibly a candidate for these jobs, like they have to ask that question. And so we went in a direction where we just openly talked about it, yeah. whether it was Schrager or Glazier. And yeah. I said, look, this is where it's at. But the important triangle that I felt from experience was ownership and front office GM. And I had that, I had experienced that in a really, really positive way in New Orleans with the Benson family, Mr. Benson, the late Mr. Benson, Gail Benson, and then Mickey Loomis, who's a close friend to this day. Like that triangle to me is and was number one in this decision of mm-hmm. if there was a right job. And then secondly, you know, what's the culture and fan base like to the city? You want to go somewhere where it's important, and it was important in New Orleans for a lot of reasons, maybe even different than at the time, but man, it's important in Denver. Mm-hmm. And then lastly are the players, and so there's no perfect, but let's talk about it. It's a team that went 5-12. That's why there's an open job. Generally speaking, when a team underachieves or doesn't play as well as everyone expects, there's a lot of people with dirt on their hands, and we gravitate to the quarterback and the head coach.
Sure.
I know this. I know he works his butt off. I know he's going to train hard. All the other things that got out of I'm not interested in where they were. You know, like, so there's going to be a car in the facility with no rearview mirrors on it, and it's a little just symbolic of where we're going. I believe in the system we have. But I also believe that we got to look closely at what's best for this team individually. And it starts with, what does the quarterback do well? And two things that help quarterbacks are good defense and good running game. I think they played pretty good defense last year.
Yes, they did.
They struggled running the football.
And that was part of the issue, was that the defense was balling out and the offense wasn't holding its...
It's an issue. I was in New York when Foxy and Michael Strahan and Jesse Armstead, those guys were fantastic and the offenses were awful. And we finally flipped that script to get, and we go to a Super Bowl.
Right.
So I think this, Russell lives like 6 miles from Drew Brees in San Diego in the offseason. That's where his home is. And so this whole month, Drew is calling me saying, hey, when are you making a decision? This guy's wearing me out. And
oh, Russ was wearing him
well,
out?
Well, Russ and Drew, you know.
Russ was wearing Drew out. Okay, same about you.
Like, yeah, what's going on? And so I told Drew on the phone, I said, look, I'm going to make you assistant head coach of Del Mar Relations. You know, you just handle that. But I think, here's the thing. The challenge is the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you talk about this. Like, mm-hmm. the challenge is the fun part. And you know, when we signed Drew in 06, everyone says, well, Miami failed the physical. No, they didn't fail the physical. They passed him on the physical, but they didn't offer. They were a little bit more leery with their offer, and we were much stronger with our offer because we had to. But the fun part is the challenge. And so I'm looking forward to working with him.
Is it as simple as, you know, Drew was deadly accurate and Drew was also, I'll say it, vertically challenged, and that you have, and that
they're
Russ
different
is,
players.
Okay, and that Russ can just plug right into your...
They're different players. No, I think this is tweaked. The offense changes a little. And then we also have to be, you know, ready to adjust as we see it ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But look, what we did with Kerry Collins in New York was different than what we did with Quincy Carter in Dallas or Vinny Testaverde. And then when we signed Drew, quickly we changed kind of the mm-hmm. we had a coach on our staff that was with Brees in San Diego that was a coincidence. And so we began using terms that he knew because it didn't matter to us. We were new. It's a little bit like a business startup. You know, that's the fun part.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and then the huge narrative of last week, Sean Payton was the personal coach of Russ. You're not going to let him,
Look,
have that.
I was asked the question about, we did a press conference and then we had this, we
the
called
scrum.
It.
The scrum. Yeah, the scrum on the side.
They called it a gaggle.
Yeah, yes. You had a gaggle. You did have a gaggle.
We're not calling it a gaggle anymore. And I love
it's your
Patrick.
Show now.
I love Patrick Smythe. Patrick's fantastic.
Patrick is great.
He's a stud.
He's been there
so
for a long time.
So we had this gaggle, which means more questions. And so we're talking and somebody just said, hey, you know, Russell's had a coach in the building, you know, helping him. Your thoughts on that? And I was honest. I said, I'm unfamiliar with that. I'm unfamiliar with what that looks like, which means I'm probably not going to do that. In fact, we're not going to do that. Like he said last night to me, he said, you know, I want to be coached hard. All these players want to be coached hard. They really do. And so, and creating that environment that's best for the team and the accountability that's best for the team. There were a lot of things they didn't do well last year, and that falls on a lot of different people, and a lot of different people are gone.
So you didn't, in between the peas and prosciuttos and the Rao's meatballs, didn't say to you, hey, I want my coach back?
No. Okay, there was no – I think it was pretty clear, so I don't think there was any –
It was clear.
Listen, he was fantastic, and it was good.
Okay, Sean Payton here, courtesy of Zebra Technologies. Walk me through the latest. I love all these technologies and what –
We all got exposed to Zebra 9 years ago when they partnered with the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think it's always important to explain to people Zebra is the barcode. You know, so when you're at the store and you swipe something and you see the barcode, that's what they do long before they thought about putting chips in shoulder pads. So if you're at Best Buy or Walmart and you swipe something, that's a Zebra barcode that tells you what it is and how much it costs. All right, it's information tracking, and so we put the little chips in the shoulder pads and we get the player's miles per hour, and then we call it next gen stats.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I actually know the lady that actually invented that term. All right, but that's a Zebra term. Next gen stats tell me this player was traveling 21 miles an hour. So it provided a studio entertainment value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it also provided us at the club level of putting these in their pads and just watching practice volumes, miles per hour, how far they traveled, because we began to get better at practicing more efficiently, but also to avoid soft tissue injuries. My first exposure was just trying to reduce hamstrings and muscle cramping. And looking down at the receivers in a practice training camp session, the average distance for a 2.5 hour practice was 6 to 6.5 miles for a wide receiver. That's when they enter the field till they leave. Brandon Cooks was at 8. And so why was he at 8? Let's pay attention to it, because shame on us if Brandon has an injury. And so you take a broad-based approach and say, we're going to cut back on practice. Well, what does that really mean? This just gave me a way to measure it.
That's fantastic.
But now the chips are in the balls.
You bet it is.
All right.
Where are we going with this, Sean?
I'm going to go back before I go forward. We all saw the chain gang episode
what
in Philly.
How many chains broke in the playoffs?
Now, listen, it gets better. The best part of the chain gang experience is when they brought the second set in.
Yeah.
And we examined it in our own eyes, and every one of us said, it's tangled, this is going to take 30 seconds. We've all had a hose that had a knot.
Yes.
We saw this thing sat tilted at the basement of this stadium, unused for 8 years.
Yes.
And we knew it was tangled. And I thought, are they going to go to commercial here? Like, you can't make this up.
No. Let me just start with this.
They do have we can still have a 10-yard measuring stick. They make untangled chains, like our hoses now. You know the ones you just pull out? They can never get tangled.
Never.
Exactly. I want that.
Never.
All right.
Are we gonna start using a football of GPS?
The chips in the football.
Everything?
Let's just start with the idea that it crosses the goal line.
Yes, sir.
And when it touches the goal line, the goalposts light up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, because in the NBA, when it turns 0-0-0, do you see the backboard?
Yes, of course, you know.
So what does the official look at? He just looks at the hand and the ball.
Yeah.
And if it's here, it's good. If it's here, it's not.
Correct.
So wouldn't we like to be able to see that light and then look at the knee?
Yes, we would.
Yes.
And so,
yes,
and then
would.
The other thing that's crazy, when I punt this ball and it goes out of bounds in the air, the method at which we measure that.
It's the eye test.
No.
You know, we always think of the yodeler on The Price is Right who keeps going up and they yodel, and it's the ref just, it's like the yodeler going
this
up.
This guy back here just starts walking fast, and I look, and then I'm like, and have we ever questioned that?
Never.
You know why? Because we go to break all the time after a punt. We go to break. No one says we just got screwed on that.
That's right.
It went out of the bounce 20 yards deep in the air over a plane, and they just said, that looks about right, 38 yards.
So when are we going to get to that? Because it's not just that, obviously, Zebra might have the technology.
The first thing we have to do is draw attention to it, and so that's what we're doing right now.
Well, you also got to get in the competition committee room and start. I know that. You got to get back in there and start knocking some heads together.
We got some other challenges right now. But now let's be the devil's advocate here for a second, because I just worked TV. You've done TV.
Yes, sir.
All right. There's something cool about the chain gang coming out and extending it. And
It's close.
A little simple.
Don't ever lose track of this. All the things we're doing are TV driven.
Yeah, right.
All right. There's a reason this challenge flag that I'm carrying that has 2 ounces of sand and a rubber band wrapped around it that I launch onto the field when I disagree, when I could easily just beep a button.
Yeah.
But we want to see this flag, and then we throw it differently. Like, we throw it in disgust right at the feet. Like,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's great drama. And so, you know, we're not changing that, are we? You know, in other words, there's a happy balance here.
That's fine.
But I do think we can get to a few things, because ultimately we want to help the officials. That's all.
And Zebra just announced an extension of their partnership with the NFL through at least 2025, which is great. And I always love having you on the show, man. I always appreciate you stopping
by. No, appreciate you. I love our friendship.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
And so your prediction for Super Bowl 57 is?
I said this on air last week. I'm going to be asked it again tomorrow or Sunday. I felt the winner of the NFC Championship game was going to win this game, and I still feel that way. I feel Philadelphia is going to win this game. There's one little thing that's a little bugaboo that I think we got to pay attention to. I think Kansas City's much further along in the kicking game. I watched that return last week that led to the touchdown. I mean, what's his name? Scott, or who was it?
Sky Moore
had the punt return.
Yes.
Look, they got a veteran special teams coach in top, you know.
Yeah.
And so if you that's the one area that if we see, and this comes up every 10 years, you know, you had Green Bay with Desmond Howard returning a kickoff versus the – if there's some explosives in the kicking game favoring Kansas City, then that trumps this discussion. I think Philadelphia runs the ball more effectively. I think they currently have been playing better defense. And so I think it's Philadelphia's game. That's why I'm picking to win. And look, here's the other thing. Like, so I made that prediction before getting hired with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And so once you're in the division with a team, like my son said this to me when he was younger and we were watching the Falcons in the playoffs. And I said, Connor, who you liking in this game? And he said, Dad, we can't root for the Dirty Birds. So we can't root for the Chiefs, can we?
Now you're a Bronco. Yeah, exactly.
So we're rooting for Philly.
I got you. And then, of course, in terms of special teams, you never know when some crazy
remember this.
Yeah.
That little discussion we just had.
Okay.
Kicking game related.
I was about to say, you never know when some crazy ass coach is going to start the second half of a Super Bowl and an onside kick either. Yeah. You never know that.
And there's going to be a scrum.
Great to see you, Sean Payton.
Great seeing you guys.
You got it. Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, joining us here, courtesy of Zebra Technologies. When we come back, we give you our game predictions before Bert Kreischer stops by in person. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, along with Sirius XM and Odyssey, and we're about to give away, or we're about to predict the Super Bowl. But I just want to give out some much deserved appreciation and kudos to the One Team Event Management, the event management team of One Team, Eric Nelson, Richie Bray, Jay Hathaway, for making this shoot so easy and lovely. And Rush Media's Rusty Cummins, I want to thank Rusty for everything that he has done. D before E, Dave Edwards, Lauren, Mike, and Pepper. I mean, look at this set. Look at what
Phenomenal.
This set looks like.
Mate,
and just, I want to thank everybody from the event management team of One Team and everyone else. And we, before the show, because we got to get out of Dodge as soon as this show is over, and Dodge being the Super Bowl experience, this was our crew before we started our day. And this is so great. I mean, look,
awesome,
we've told
man.
Our story over and over and over again about how how many different hurdles we had to leap before we finally hooked up with the Roku channel and the partnership with Roku. And the Roku channel is just phenomenal.
Shout out Roku Joe.
And Roku Joe is here. Yes, indeed. And so we're thrilled to be here at the Super Bowl experience and have a great experience together with the entire crew. So thank you to so many people whose name I just didn't even mention.
And thank you, man.
Oh, no, thank you. No, see, I heard that. I was a good listener.
No, thank you.
My goodness.
Wow.
That's going to stick. It's going to stick.
By the way, Rich, this shirt still smells.
Doesn't it smell nice?
It smells
That's great. That now you're truly creeping me out. It's time, gents. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Is time for the big game predictions presented by Subway. Thank you for the music, sir. Let's go for it. Chris Brockman. You are first predicting the big game. What is your big game prediction? I need a final score. Who's going to win? And who is the most valuable player of the big game? Go for it.
I think it's going to be a close game. We're going to get close to the total, which is at 51 now. We're not going to go over. I'm going to go under. I'm going to say Philadelphia 26-24. Jalen Hurts, your MVP.
That's your prediction, huh? All right, so you heard all of the Eagles, everyone saying Philly, 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 and you went Philly after all of that.
I got to say, Sean Payton kind of convinced me. He kind of put me over the top with the analysis.
Okay.
But I am keeping an eye on the kicking game.
That's what he said, keep an eye on it. What do you have, TJ Jefferson, your big game prediction?
Yeah, man, I think the Yardbirds, they jump out early. Probably take the lead into the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I think in the end, Patrick Mahomes is going to rally the Chiefs. I have them coming back to win the game 33-27. And Mr. Mahomes will be your most valuable player, and he will continue on that path to greatness.
Well, it's now time for me to break the tie here and predict the big game. As you know, all year long, Chiefs Nation has been very upset with me.
Yeah.
Because I looked at the Tyreek Hill departure as a sign that their reign atop the AFC West would be over. I still thought they would be a playoff team, but I thought that there were holes that needed to be filled also on defense. So I chose the Raiders to win the division, and I still have egg on my face for that. And Chiefs Kingdom folks that I've been running into here in Arizona have done nothing but remind me of that, and I'm glad that Eric Stone Street hasn't arrived yet, as he will do that as well. So I believe it is fascinating, if you will, potentially ironic, like rain on your wedding day, that I am going to predict the Kansas City Chiefs to win the big game. And I am taking them to win the big game by a final score of 28-24. I do believe it is going to be a high-scoring affair inside this stadium where I watched the Fiesta Bowl put up damn near 100 points.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a friendly stadium for this type of neutral site game. And I am going to say that in the same way that Mariucci, in his mold, Kurt Warner's record, if you will, of being the last Super Bowl MVP to have won the MVP of the playing season, that's going to get smashed.
Kaput!
And Patrick Mahomes will indeed be the first Super Bowl MVP to also be the league MVP since Kurt Warner did it in 1999. And I'm taking Kansas City Chiefs to win the big game.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to do. And that was Big Game Predictions presented by Subway. Subway's upping their game with the All-Star Subway Series menu. Order by name or number, and they'll do the rest. There you go.
I have a prediction, Rich.
What do you got, Mike?
The weather prediction.
Oh!
It's not going to rain inside.
This guy.
He's on?
I thought you were going to actually tell me what the weather was Super Sunday, because that is a significant piece of information.
It's going to be sunny. We're in Arizona. It's beautiful out here. Look it up. I bet you I'm right.
Look it up.
I bet you I'm right.
Mike just doesn't want to do any more weather reports
because
it's all flop sweaty when he does it.
No, I'm not. I'm fine.
Wow.
No, but I can tell you, it's not going to rain at all.
77.
The grass is outside right now. I think it might have been moved inside.
All right, then let's do one last one here. Non-quarterback who can win the MVP, go.
Non-quarterback.
Because if you're taking Philadelphia.
If I'm taking Philadelphia, I'm going to take Miles Sanders.
I would, if I was Philadelphia, and picking Philadelphia and choosing a non-quarterback, I'd choose Hassan Reddick. If he has a game in Super Bowl 57.
Maybe.
Like the one that he had. Who would be the MVP of the NFC Championship game? Do they give those out? I don't know. Like, it would be Reddick. Hassan Reddick was the most valuable player on that day.
That one play changed the whole game.
But he also had a fumble recovery of the Josh Johnson snap that went off his grill.
I think Philly's going to be able to run the ball, which is going to limit how much, you know, offensive time of possession the Chiefs have. And Miles Sanders is going to have a good game in that respect.
Okay.
You know, if that's the case.
Kansas City Chief not named Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP.
I would say
it can't be Kelce because Mahomes is going to be the one getting him the ball. And if that's the case, then
that's true. But Kelce could put up some incredible receiver numbers that break records. But
like Edelman. Edelman was MVP.
Yeah. So I would say Kelce would have been. But
okay. No, you can choose him.
We got to go on the defensive side. I would say you're going to need that defense to stand up. So let's say Frank Clark.
Or Chris Jones.
I think Chris Jones was kind of an obvious, so I tried to go a little different. But, yeah, that, I mean, one of those guys, I have a feeling, is going to make some pretty huge plays on Sunday.
I remember I got so much crap from my buddy Doug, who might be out there watching, when I said Kelce was going to win MVP of the Super Bowl in Tampa. Mm. I was way off because there was nobody doing anything offensively for the team that night. But Kelce is truly...
It's different.
Unbelievable. The number of people that say, I don't know how he gets open. I don't know. You know, Mahomes runs around quite a bit, and then he knows where to find that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all weekend long, right here on the Roku channel, the Rich Eisen Show Big Game Bonus Special will be airing. And my guest on that show, Cameron Jordan is going to be stopping by. Also on the show, Anthony Ramos, the actor from In the Heights, now the new Transformers movie. And then the Kelces, Donna and Ed Kelce, the parents of Jason and Travis, will be here.
Nice.
It's going to be a fun show. And again, you can, for the first time ever, stream the Super Bowl for free. Super Bowl 57 on Westwood One is coming up Sunday. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. Our final hour here at the Super Bowl State coming up. Bert Kreischer will join us coming up next. Shirts on, guys.
Shirts on.
Yeah.
Shirts on.
I will.
What'd you do last night, DJ Mikey D? Because, again, I did NFL Honors and then went to this Wheels Up Rayo's dinner, which was phenomenal, where I did see Sean Payton and Russ and Montana.
How was the actual dinner?
Cupper Manning was sitting at the table next to Trevor Lawrence. And here's a funny moment. Because they had me go up on stage to do a little Q&A, and they had Russ up there and Sean Payton and Joe Montana. Jim Gray, who I introduced as the star of the Let's Go podcast. And I told him, I said, don't ask anybody their timetables up here because they'll curse you out.
Yeah.
So I said to hey, raise your hand, anyone here who's ever won a Super Bowl. And, you know, Russ puts his hand up, and Sean Payton puts his hand up, and Montana puts up. Four. He put up four. And so I think Kenny Dichter, the CEO of Wheels Up, goes, are there any current NFL players, anybody who's played an NFL game that's here? And a bunch of folks obviously put up. Alex Smith was there. He raised his hand. Also raising his hand was Garrett Wilson was there. Debo was there.
Debo.
It was a heck of a night.
Wow.
And then when asked anybody who ever played in an NFL game, Cooper Manning raised his hand. That guy,
Cupper,
as we all know, coming up when college football season starts,
very funny.
He will be the man of the hour.
Yeah, no doubt.
That is for sure. Bert Kreischer coming up. Look at him in the purple room of the Roku channel.